He's been seen on CNBC, the Fox News Channel, and the Fox Business Channel. His articles can be found on MarketWatch, Seeking Alpha, TheStreet.com, and many other places. He's the author of the weekly Best Stocks Now newsletter and the inventor of the Best Stocks Now app. He's president of Gunderson Capital Management. Here is professional money manager, Bill Gunderson.
And welcome to the Tuesday, the post 3-day weekend edition of the Best Stocks Now show with professional money manager Bill Gunderson, president of Gunderson Capital Management. And I'm here with Barry Kite, our chartered financial analyst. Boy, do we have a lot of news to go through here today. And let's begin with the markets. We've got interest rates up a little bit this morning, and that puts the Dow down 196 points. I haven't had a chance yet to look into the winners and losers today. The Dow is down 0.5%. It's at 37,397. The S&P 500 down about the same percent. It's down 48 basis points. It's down 23 points to 4,760. And the NASDAQ down about the same percentage, too, about 0.5%. The NASDAQ down 73 to 14,896. The Russell 2000 getting hit even harder as it is more sensitive. Small caps are more sensitive to interest rates. The Russell 2000 is down 1.2%. Crude oil is down 33 cents. Gold's down $10, and the 10-year is now up 7 basis points. That's a pretty big jump to 4.03%, and we'll tell you why it's up here in a minute. Bitcoin is up 325 to 42,592. So welcome to today's Best Stocks Now show with professional money manager Bill Gunderson, president of Gunderson Capital Management, rested. Ready for a new week in the market. And, man, a lot happened. A lot has happened since we last met on Friday. You know, let's just go back to where we ended last week here on Friday. We had, of course, all those earnings reports come out on Friday from J.P. Morgan and Citigroup and who else? Bank of America. No, just a whole slew.
Wells Fargo,
the big four, I guess. In today's world. But we actually closed out the week okay, I suppose. Let's see where I'm trying to get to last week's results. And, of course, we've had so much happen over the weekend in elections, in attacks around the world, and just all kinds of global conflict.
Well, NFL playoffs, right?
Yes, NFL playoffs. Well, we were actually down 118 on Friday. Okay, now that refreshes my memory. The NASDAQ was flat. The bugaboo for me in the market right now, the forward P.E. ratio, which is the S&P 500 divided by the earnings estimates over the next 12 months, it comes in at 20.8. That's too high. You know, we belong down in the 18-19 range, and I've been saying that since late December. And we have seen the big advance that we saw in December come to a halt because of valuation issues. The S&P did attempt a new high on Friday. It was there for a bit, and then it failed. So the S&P kind of has a lot of resistance right where it's at now, right in that 4,800 range. Is where that S&P 500 is right now. Now, okay, over the weekend, of course, we had the big Taiwan election on Saturday, and you might think, well, that's not a very big deal. No, it is a very big deal because the anti-China candidate was elected. I mean, basically, his party has been in control of Taiwan. Now, this is their third term. That's a record. And China's not happy. I mean, they started capturing islands and whatever else they do, turning people against Taiwan. And, of course, we were very careful as the U.S. Came out and said, well, you know, we support a one China country. And so, anyways, that's big news because, you know, China could make a move, could make a move. You never know. We had a U.S.-owned cargo ship struck by a missile off the coast of Yemen. That did some damage to the ship. We had our Navy confiscate a small boat. I saw a picture of the boat. Looks like almost an old Chinese junk or something headed towards Yemen carrying warheads from Iran. So Iran continues to smuggle weapons around the world. And we did capture that boat. We also launched airstrikes in Yemen.
So we had warheads inside that boat?
Yeah, it looked like a little fishing boat.
I don't even know. Yeah, you probably wouldn't even go fishing in that boat.
No, right? You know, if you move something the wrong way, that boat goes sky high. And, of course, we had a big election here. The presidential season is now officially underway. And President Trump, former President Trump, 50% of the vote in Iowa caucuses. The other two, if you add up the other two, okay, you had DeSantis with 21% and Nikki Haley with 19%. That's 40, okay? So if one of them drops out, who knows if they can give Trump a run or not. And you have Vivek dropping out. He had 4 or 5% of the vote. And now they go to New Hampshire, and then in about 4 weeks they come here to South Carolina, which could either make or break Nikki Haley as a candidate. Of course, the former governor here, the favorite daughter, I suppose, is that what we're supposed to call her? And, of course, you've got, I think Ron DeSantis did a little bit better. He was backed by the governor. The popular governor of Iowa, that had to help him. But it looks like Trump is pretty unstoppable to me, okay, just at this point in the whole affair. Okay, the UK is warning of the world entering a pre-war phase, marking the end of the peace dividend. That's not good.
Yeah, that was an ominous
very ominous
report that I saw this morning.
There are more warnings that the world is entering a new era of collective defense, and 2024 may mark that inflection point. Well, you know, in my opinion, the whole world changed on October 7th of last year when Hamas invaded Israel. I remember where I was. It's one of those events, at least for me. I remember where I was when we landed on the moon. I remember where I was when the JFK assassination was announced, and I remember where I was when I read about Israel being invaded. And that definitely has amped up tensions all over the world, and may be what the leader of the UK is warning about. One of the world's most important trade arteries in the Red Sea is becoming too risky to navigate. And, of course, we're feeling the fallout in Tesla in Berlin, where they had to close their plant because of it. You've got fresh attacks hitting American-owned ships despite. Now, this is after our airstrikes against them, the Houthi rebels. They're still hitting ships. And then over the weekend, they fired ballistic missiles and armed drones at the Erbil airport in northern Iraq. Well, that's where we have our the U.S. and the international forces are stationed. It seems like Iran has basically declared war. We're just not taking the bait and striking back in a big way. And then you've got, of course, that northern border there in Israel where that's going to blow up at some point. And you had a terrorist attack over the weekend in the West Bank. And that is about ready to explode. You've got all those people, they're not working. They're not allowed to come into Israel anymore for work, so they're all unemployed. They got time on their hands, and we have entered a new phase in the world. Now, what's driving interest rates higher today? The ECB, doggone it, the European Central Bank, they are pushing back rate cut expectations, and there's another big event taking place this week. They're in Davos, the home of the World Economic Forum. And they're meeting there, and the ECB members, that's our Fed, is pushing back any hope for an interest rate cut anytime soon. And that's driving up our rates a little bit. But we're hovering right around that 4 area. That seems to be where the bond market is comfortable right now. And if that's not enough, we've got a full week of earnings reports ahead. We've got some mergers. We have one of our stocks, big winner, with where it's at today. It's up 127% from where we bought it back in May of last year. And in less than a year, we've made 127% and is being bought out today. Who is that company? We'll have that. And the companies that are on tap to report earnings this week and how this earnings season is going so far. Is that enough for you? We'll be right back. Welcome back here to the second quarter of today's Best Stocks Now show. Okay, we mentioned all of these events taking place in the world, and I always come back, at least as of now, earnings are more important than any of the aforementioned events in the world, because that's what the market has been following since 2009, when the S&P got down to 660. Today we're at 4,800. Why? Because earnings have grown from $60 per share back then to today's somewhere in the neighborhood of $250 per share. And you just stick a multiple on there of 18 to 20, and you can just see that, you know, that pathway. I put, in fact, in the newsletter on Friday, I put the chart of the Dow since 2009. And you'll see it's a very pretty picture, sloping upwards, following earnings. And, that's why, it's so important to watch the earnings forecast, because if the market's going to continue to go higher, earnings are going to have to continue to go higher. Well, we're now in earnings season. It pretty much began on Friday with the release of the earnings from the four big banks. We now have 6%, 30 of the 500 companies, 470 to go, that have reported earnings. 76% of those 30 have beaten their earnings estimates. In addition to this, 55% have beaten their sales estimates, okay? But the earnings expectations for this quarter, which is being reported, it's actually the fourth quarter of last year, which ended on December 31st, has slipped a little bit. At one point in time, we were expecting 6% growth of earnings during the quarter. As of last week, it was down to 1.6% growth, and after these 6% have reported, we're now down to a slight decrease in earnings from the same period of time last year. But then again, it's very early on in the earnings season, and it's really too early to detect a trend. But suffice it to say that as of now, we're off to a slow start in earnings. The estimate when we started this quarter was for $54.81. That's for one-fourth of a year of earnings. And now we've dropped down to $53.75. Okay, so we're coming in a little bit weaker. It's a soft earnings season, but it's very early on. The forward P.E. ratio of the S&P is at 20.8. That's too high. It's above the upper band of its forward P.E. ratios. What's been the average over the last 5 years? 18.9. We're at 20.8. And over the last 10 years, it's been 17.6. And we're at 20.8. So as you can see, the multiple in the middle is too high right now. to shrink that multiple, there's only two ways of doing it. The market has to come down, which it has been. It's been adjusting downwards. That's the price of the S&P 500. That's the P in the PE. Or the earnings estimates have to go higher, and that's not happening so far. In fact, they've gone lower, which has expanded and made the multiple go higher. This week we're going to have 22 S&P 500 companies that will report earnings, 22. And then next week it really starts to ramp up. So far today we've had Goldman Sachs. We'll go through that report. Morgan Stanley, PNC. We're going to get Interactive Brokers, Progress Software. So not a lot of big ones, but certainly Goldman Sachs is one that moves the market. On Wednesday we get Alcoa. Yeah, you know, not a big one. We get Schwab, who we clear through. We want to see a strong Schwab, that's for sure. Synovus, Wintrust Financial, U.S. Bank Corp, Kinder Morgan. On Thursday, we get a big one, Taiwan Semiconductor. And, you know, why is the election in Taiwan such a big deal? Well, 80% of the semiconductors in the world, including these high-speed chips that give us a military advantage over the rest of the world, are manufactured there. A takeover of Taiwan by China would be a very, very disruptive, not a good thing for the world. But Taiwan Semiconductor, which mostly is headquartered in Taiwan, even though they're building a plant in Phoenix, and they're diversifying out to Japan, but they'll report on Thursday along with Fastenal. Mostly banks, Bank of Ozark, M&T Bank. And then on Friday we get Schlumberger, the big oil and gas services company. We get Comerica, Fifth Third Bank Corp, Regions Financial, Travelers, and a few others. So that will be this week of earnings. You know what, though? Everybody's waiting for the tech stocks. The bank stocks.
The bank names, at least at the moment, are like
pretty boring.
When they bring bread out to the meal beforehand.
Yeah,
right?
It's pretty boring. I mean,
don't fill up on it too much.
The main course comes when AMD and Microsoft and the big boys start reporting, Tesla. Now, we have good news today in one of the stocks that we own. We invested pretty heavily in the turnaround that we anticipate at quality restaurants. Burger King, Popeyes, Firehouse Subs, and
Tim Hortons.
Yes, four companies that need total turnarounds. All right. Now, there's a big franchisee of Burger King called Carrol's Restaurant Group. Yeah,
the largest.
And I've been calling that Whopper Jr., and we invested heavily in it also because we figure, look, if Patrick Doyle, who turned around Domino's Pizza from a total disaster to a winning stock again and then left Domino's Pizza, an investment in Patrick Doyle during the time he turned around Domino's Pizza, you would have made 2,200%, something like that, some enormous percent. So we decided to invest in him, in his new venture that he took on a little over a year ago, I guess. And I said to myself, if Burger King is going to benefit, well, Carrol's Restaurant should benefit. Well, Restaurant Brands is buying out Carrol's Restaurant today for $9.55 per share. We bought Carrol's Restaurant. And doesn't Carrol's, they don't own the other three, right?
Mostly Burger King's. I want to say they have about 60 Popeyes locations that they use.
Okay.
So predominantly a Burger King brand, and they're gonna revamp them. Basically, Carrol's has kind of dragged their feet in terms of remodels, and so they're gonna kind of speed up the remodel.
They'll have a lot
there.
Bigger bucks. Well, we've made 127% since May the 4th of last year. We bought Carrol's Restaurant at $4.17, and it's being bought out for $9.55. Not too bad. Taste is the symbol, TAST. And it's up big on that news today. Okay, when we come back, Elon Musk making waves again today at Tesla.
This is Bill Gunderson. Thank you for tuning in to today's Best Stocks Now, Best Inverse Funds Now show. I put several hours of research in during the wee hours of the morning each day to bring you the very best cutting-edge stories that I can. To get 2 free weeks of my newsletter, go to GundersonCapital.com. To talk to us about our fee-based only money management services, call us at 855-611-BEST. Now, back to the second half of the show.
Welcome back here to the second half of today's Best Stocks Now show, where the NASDAQ has now gone positive. We're surging, and I'm trying to look and see what stocks. Well, AMD. There you go. AMD is up 7.4% today. I'm not sure what the news is, but it continues to be one of our biggest positions. NVIDIA is now up 2.7%.
We'll take it. Yeah.
Yes, Palo Alto Networks is up 2.1%. And Tesla has gone just barely gone positive. It's up 1.7%. And I think the word you got to associate Elon Musk with is controversy. He wants more control. That's going to probably divide Tesla. The only way to accomplish what he wants to accomplish would be to start another company with the robotics part of the equation. On multiple occasions, Musk has asserted that Tesla is already a significant robotics and AI company. He's also a promoter. Barry, there's your second.
He's been the great. As far as our times go, we talk about this a lot. He's been one of the best. It's almost like
P.T. Barnum,
exactly, in terms of raising money. I mean, he was on the cusp a handful of times, and he'll tell you that close to running out of money at Tesla along the way. So that's why it's one of the reasons why we look at all the other pure EV makers and tell them good luck, because it's a much tougher environment to raise money than it was for him.
If you're not a P.T. Barnum. Well, right. Musk is making a big pitch for one of his other ventures at its AI Day in 2022. Where an early prototype of the humanoid robot Optimus was showcased. Musk said the event aimed to show the immense depth and breadth of Tesla in AI, computer hardware, and robotics. Of course, he's promoting another big part of his business that he's developing. Before that, now listen to this. I mean, he's also known for really making some way out predictions. He predicted that Optimus, this is this humanoid robot, ultimately will be worth more than the car business. Well, Barry, the car business right now is worth $709 billion.
Yeah, I guess that means he'll be worth a lot more too then, right?
Are these robots going to be everywhere? But anyways, his intent is to have more voting power, which adds pressure to Tesla's board. And he could definitely do an IPO and break off the AI and the robotics part of Tesla, which would lower the value, I would think, of Tesla. So now the board's got to worry about concerns over his compensation, this new split focus. He's running multiple businesses, including Twitter, which I don't think has helped Tesla at all, the Tesla story, as well as his controversial political statements. Now, Tesla was down this morning on this news. It was down pretty...
Over 6%.
Now it's turned around, and it's barely positive. But it's still $80 off of its high that it set back in October of last year. It's been under pressure. Actually, in July of last year. So anyways, more controversy, more P.T. Barnum-like activity at Tesla today. Well, Novo Nordisk resumes U.S. shipments of Wegovy. That's their weight loss drug. That the lower dose. See, you have people have to start off with the low dose, which is 1.7 milligrams, and then they build up to higher doses along the way. Novo has been wiped out of the 1.7 milligram dose for quite some time, since mid-December. For 30 days, you haven't been able to get it, and they finally are saying that they are resuming. I mean, they were rationing it. That's how popular this is. I'm seeing stories. I haven't really dug into it that much, but I guess this is the craze in Hollywood right now is these weight loss drugs, both Wegovy and Zepbound. So anyways, it's all...
I've been seeing commercials, too, by the way.
I haven't seen any yet.
Yeah, they refer to it as, I think, Zeppo.
Zeppo.
Yeah, like in the commercial.
There's Zeppo Marx in there somewhere, one of the Marx brothers. I think more of Led Zeppelin, Zepbound.
Yeah, right, Zepbound.
Anyways, get the lead out. The second wave of artificial intelligence is coming. Barclays has names to consider. Well, I read through these names. You know, Barclays to me is a big old sleepy bank out of the UK. They've got Coherent on there, NXP Semiconductors, Western Digital. I see one that's interesting, and that's Camtek, C-A-M-T. That's out of Israel. That's been a very strong stock. Probably the only thing that kept me from buying it is the conflict over there in Israel. In addition, they like AMD. And maybe, I don't know what's propelling AMD today, but I got to look at that chart. That's a fresh breakout. Look at that.
Yeah, there's some upgrades. You know, the upgrades by Barclays is really the only thing that I can see. They upgraded, four other names, and AMD, you know, also said they continue to like AMD and Marvel Tech, but you know, for it to move that much, got to be some other news out there.
Yeah, I mean, that is just a spectacular chart on AMD. That's as pretty of a breakout as you can get there to new, not quite all-time highs. 164 is the all-time high. They're at 158. That $6 more would do it, and they'd be at a new all-time high. AMD having a huge day. We own AMD in both of our Premier Growth and our ultra growth portfolio, so that's helping us a lot. The sector of the day on Friday was the uranium stocks.
Never a good sign.
you know, I just in my head, Bitcoin got slammed on Friday, and uranium bolted higher. And I said, I wonder if they're using Bitcoin to buy uranium for nefarious purposes. Well, that's a possibility. But suffice it to say that uranium stocks just broke out on Friday. They're going to restart Uranium Energy, which I think was the stock of the day on Friday. UEC? Yeah, it's breaking out again. UEC is going to restart uranium production in Wyoming, of all places, at the Christensen Ranch. And they're going to start mining uranium again, as the price is soaring right now on uranium. So, okay, a few other stocks in the news here today. Goldman Sachs, let's look at the earnings. Goldman Sachs has reported... How did they do? Well, the stock's up a little bit. It's up 1.7%. Goldman's actually had a pretty good start to the year. I just don't see consistent earnings growth at Goldman Sachs. They stumble constantly, making the bad acquisitions.
A bunch of stop
getting
starts,
into trouble.
Right? Yeah.
Regulators going after them. Morgan Stanley is horrible. Well, their stock's about as good as the ones that they recommend. I hate to pick on Morgan Stanley, but they've just been wrong so much. Who's their guy that is constantly bearish?
Your buddy Mike Wilson.
Mike Wilson, he's been wrong about the market for so long as it just goes on and hits new highs, and he's always talking about the next thing that's going to tank the market. Morgan Stanley's down 3.9% today. That's not good. Didn't they? I think they've got a succession plan in place, too, for Gorman. I don't know.
Yeah, that's been kind of one of those sticky in terms of sticking points, and it's kind of changed over time. You know, kind of like a lot of these CEOs never really want to let go, and investors a lot of times don't want to let them go,
and they keep coming back, like Iger
right.
at Disney.
I was
going to
say, yeah, Disney.
PNC down 1.2%. So suffice it to say, if you look at all of our portfolios. The Premier Growth, the Ultra Growth, the dividend. You would think we would own a bank stock in the dividend and growth portfolio. No. The problem is they're missing the growth part of the equation. They may be paying dividends, but they're not growing their earnings. It's such a competitive field out there in the banks. Now, some people thought that when Silicon Valley Bank went down, there would be a rush of people getting out of the smaller banks and going to the bigger banks. I just haven't found them to be very good investments in recent years at all. We're looking for the best stocks now, not a bunch of mediocre has-beens. We'll be right back. Welcome back here to the final segment of today's Best Stocks Now show. Well, there's definitely a stock of the day. I'm going to say there's two stocks of the day. We're fortunate enough to own both of them. And then there's a disaster of the day. Again. And that's one that we got unloaded last year. And anybody who's transferred in an account that had that stock in it, we unloaded, got rid of the stock. The disaster of the day. Well, I was reading articles this morning of things that happened since last Friday. Apparently, they packaged up that door plug. There's your word of the day, the door plug, heard around the world that flew out of that Boeing aircraft.
Landed in a backyard, he said.
Landed in a backyard. And, you know, I was reading, I didn't realize, I was reading the account of what happened inside the airplane when
I've
that happened.
I read it, too. It's pretty,
pretty gruesome. I mean, people's cell phones went flying out of their hands into the wild blue yonder. A kid had his shirt ripped off. They had to, like, grab the kid so he didn't go flying out the hole.
Yeah, the
cockpit
door.
The oxygen mask came down.
Yeah, oh. I think the cockpit door got pulled open as well. So, you know, the pilots are flying with, crazy amounts of sound and, you know, other things, you know, behind them as they're moving. Yeah.
Depressurized cabin. People praying. They figured this is the end. They're texting their closest of kin and everything. And as a result, I saw today that seven passengers are suing Boeing. They're going to win something for putting them through that.
Yeah, people have won for less, for sure.
Oh, right? My gosh. So Boeing is down. And, of course, Boeing is in the Dow Jones Industrial Average. Boeing is down 7%, 7.4%. This stock was hitting a new 52-week high not that long ago at 267. Now it's at 201. Oh, my gosh, what a disaster. That's a 35% drop in the stock. And since the door plug blew out, then they shipped that door plug, I guess, to the National Transportation and Safety Board. It showed them unpacking it and examining it. And some people, it's the most popular theory that I see is Boeing went to a lot of outsourcing, especially there at Spirit AeroSystems where they build the fuselages.
Yeah, and they're both going to have more oversight going forward.
Oh boy,
they likely should. And of course, you know, once you get those folks in the building, it's hard to get them out of the building.
Oh man, they're going to have them breathing down their neck, and not only the regulators, but the companies that are buying these planes from Boeing. And I know that Spirit AeroSystems, that was a lot of people blaming.
They had the fake parts, right?
Yeah.
Didn't they also have that fake parts issue?
And it was owned by private equity. They sold it to private equity. Private equity kind of strips a company down, trying to maximize profits. That wasn't a good move. I've heard others blame DIE, hiring people that aren't exactly, you know, the best out there for the job. I've heard that theory. But whatever it is, I mean, it's not good. It's a major setback for the biggest airplane maker in the world. Okay, now, on the upside, there's two, of course, Taste. Who would have ever thought that Carol's Restaurant would be the stock of the day when you came to work this morning? But it is. Carol's Restaurant Group, which owns 1,022 fast casual restaurants, they're out of Syracuse, New York, and it just seems the parent company is going to absorb them, buy those franchisees out, or that franchisee out, at $9.55 per share. That stock's up 13.1%. It's up 127% since we bought it. Who's buying it? QSR, which that's the parent company of Burger King, which we have a big investment in. Now, it's going to be down today, obviously. It's down 3.1%
on the acquirer. News. Right.
It's the acquirer. But our investment is in management. And we believe, we hope that Patrick Doyle can come even close to what he did at Domino's Pizza in turning that one around. So, and then the other stock of the day, it's just incredible. It's incredible. AMD. How many times?
Still going.
And it's one that we wrote, one of the articles that we wrote last year. AMD is up 8.7% on renewed artificial intelligence interest. Now, I will say this. What's the number one subject at Davos, at the World Economic Forum? Artificial intelligence. And that's also got, and this upgrade by Barclays, I'm seeing all the stocks that Barclays mentioned doing well today. So I guess they have quite a bit of clout out there, you know, in the markets. And as I said, the NASDAQ has surged, and it's now positive by 24 points. The Dow has improved a lot, but with Boeing down what it is, it's still down 114. Well, it's going to be an interesting week this week.
Be a bit of a cold week, I think, coming up.
Yeah, we're going to get 20 in the 20s tonight. I got to bring my lemon trees. I got to protect my lemon and my mandarin orange trees tonight with the heaters. That'll be fun. But anyways, look, if you want to get 2 weeks of the newsletter, this is where you find the best stocks now, in our opinion, that we think are the best stocks now. Not 3% and 4% growers. You can go to our website at GundersonCapital.com, and that macro outlook, that's what it's going to be all about in 2024. If this bull market's going to continue that began in 2009, it's all about earnings. And I update those earnings estimates every Saturday in the newsletter. I sometimes have to squeeze the multiple a little bit. Sometimes I expand the multiple. That all comes from the interest rate side of the equation. The bond market determines the multiple of stocks. And that macro outlook, you can read that and the update every week in the newsletter and what we've been buying and selling. We've been pretty active here in this first few weeks of 2024. To get 2 free weeks of the newsletter, go to GundersonCapital.com. To set up an appointment with us and talk about your portfolio, 855-611-BEST. 855-611-BEST. Have a great day, everybody.
This show is not a solicitation to buy or sell any securities. Bill Gunderson or clients of Gunderson Capital Management may have long or short positions in stocks mentioned during the show. Past performance is not indicative of future performance. Gunderson Capital Management is a fee-based registered investment advisory firm. All accounts are held at Charles Schwab. Schwab is a member of SIPC and FINRA.